7:34, Hudson Pacific Live on the Beacon. Let me say good morning and welcome to Jackie Orringer, candidate for New York's 18th Congressional District. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Hudson Valley. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty well. A little wet out there this morning. Been trying to urge people, if there's ever a morning to be cautious out on the roadways, this is it. When Robbie and I came in this morning, boy, there was flooding on the roadways we hear from the traffic reports, trees down in some of the roadways. So people have to really take it easy out there, Jackie. I would have loved to have had you in the studio this morning, because you and I have never met in person yet. But once I saw the weather, I was just as glad that you didn't have to try to, get down here at first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it's been a really wet summer. And, I had to cancel an event in Orange County last week because I just didn't want to put anyone in harm's way.
Yes.
So, completely understand. Wish I was in there, too, because I actually am looking very forward to meeting you in person. But, better everyone stay safe. And
exactly.
Everyone watch out for flash flooding.
Oh, it's a problem. Back a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the, all of our orchards here. Some of them got hit really hard with the freeze back in April that really affects some of the peach crops. And I had Dave DuBois from DuBois Farms in. They were fortunate with their preventive strategies. They were able to, keep their peach crop going. And we had a dry period a little earlier in the season that increased the sweetness of the peaches. And so I guess, Jackie, getting people out to eat real food and support our farmers markets and our local growers, I assume that's something that you highly endorse.
Of course. I love to support my local businesses and farmers and everything local because, there's a problem right now with affordability to begin with.
Absolutely.
And so I a lot of farmers that I've spoken to, a lot of them have been complaining about the crop issues that have happened this year.
Yes.
And it's sad.
And I know that just the other day, I think U.S. Agricultural Secretary Brooke Rollins, I think we just got some emergency relief for some of these Hudson Valley farmers.
You know what? That's exactly what we need.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. So your background really intrigues me. I have spent, years in business on my own with the family insurance business. And then in economic development, workforce development, education, and the idea of strategic planning, leadership, vision, project management. That's what intrigues me about your background. I am all on board in the importance of if you're going into politics to be my congressional representative. I live in the 18th Congressional District. And to say that we're going to get something done and to put the steps in place and to follow it and adjust and change and actually do what you promised the voters to do. Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. As I think you already know, I do work for my family's crane and construction business.
Yes.
And I do project management. I do their managerial accounting. And then, when you think about it, every project has a scope,
Absolutely.
Has a budget, a deadline, and someone's always responsible for that.
Yes.
And it seems like Washington often operates as though like none of those things actually apply. So I think that there's a real lack of accountability from our leaders right now. And I think there's a lack of listening. And constantly it feels like we're watching this Broadway show. Everything is so performative. And, at the end of the day, it's entertaining. But it's like you're looking at it and you're like, wait, is this play about us? Because these are our real lives and real people are being affected by that. So, I don't work in this glamorous world, but I have real work. And in college, a little story I'll tell you. In college, all my friends would come home from summer break and they were all going to these Manhattan internships in this chic corporate world. And I was coming home to an office trailer with cement dust literally in every crevice of
Yes.
paperwork. And I understand what it's like to work in a male-dominated industry. Congress is no different than that. Actually, since 1917, there's been over 12,000 congressmen, but only 450-something congresswomen.
Interesting.
And I look very forward to being one of the congresswomen there in November. But a lot of people are asking me, what makes me qualified for this? And I have a business degree in marketing, which is essentially finding out what people want and getting it to them. I don't think it's any different from other civil service work. You just listen to people that you want to represent. You understand the problems that they're facing, and then you work towards finding these practical solutions. And what I would say, actually, what makes me the most qualified is that I'm just like everyone else. I'm not a career politician. I'm a resident here in the Hudson Valley that understand what it's like to work, what it's like to pay bills, what it's like to watch the costs rise. And then you're seemingly watching this government that is so disconnected from the realities on the ground here.
And this is so true in the state of New York. I mean, when I look at this, I mean, we're going to talk about affordability issues. We're going to talk about energy, the environment, people having access to real food. One of the things, Jackie Arringer, that really concerns me is this is how we get a message out to people. The national media over the last 30 years, there's near monopoly control of major media outlets, and there has been since the 1996 Telecommunications Act. Millions of people have been left in the dark as to how we've gotten here. What has driven this $39 trillion national debt that we're putting on future generations? What government policies interfered with the cost or availability of our health care, of our food, of our energy, the cost to buy a home, the cost of a college education? Every single one of those things that I just referenced has been disrupted by government's interference in a free market economy. Your thoughts, please.
So obviously, I believe in a free market economy. and that doesn't mean that there's no rules. It just means that we need those laws to protect workers and consumers and then, enforce these contracts, prevent fraud, stop companies from crushing competition. But, government should create a fair playing field. It shouldn't control everything about it. And right now, I think we're heading into these socialistic values. And my opponent, Pat Ryan, has been bringing in a lot of these socialist people. He brought in the DSA congressional candidate into Kingston a couple weeks ago. He brought in Letitia James, Kathy Hochul, all of these people. I even think that the Democrats, they're losing their base because it's just going super far left right now. And I think that we need to hold these people accountable. My concern with the Democratic approach is that it often begins with too much control from government. And New York State is one of the most regulated states in the nation, and we see how that works. So I think that government should protect the rules of the game, but it shouldn't choose the winners, it shouldn't punish success, and it shouldn't make opportunity dependent on having the right political connections.
Oh, absolutely. And sticking with New York State and the points that you just made about Pat Ryan are absolutely accurate. New York State, by outside review, is the least economic freedom of all 50 states for 20 years running. It is crippling to business, and it's driving families out of here, whether it's the retirees who have to move elsewhere for a lower cost of living or young people, Jackie Arringer, who have to go elsewhere for a job. The multi-generational family is being really upended by the kind of control that you just spoke about that's happening here in the state of New York. Jackie?
I'm 29 years old, and every day it seems like building a house, owning a house in this area is getting further and further away from the goalpost.
Yes.
And I just want to use my everyday experience here to bring that common sense back to the table, because I think like right now, like I mentioned before, everything seems performative and everything that's talked about, it's just a performance. It's not the realities here. So honestly, the only thing I've really heard when I talk to constituents is that affordability is the most important issue.
To think about it, Jackie Arringer, the complexities of what we're dealing about, to try to distill all of that to a couple of sentences, which is why I like doing this show and having you on with me for the fact that you and I can actually have a conversation and look at the origin of these problems that you're referring to. How did we get to the affordability issue? Well, New York State exploding its budget by $100 billion just in the last 6 or 7 years. For what reason? You know, and then they talk about affordability, Jackie?
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. And a lot of this stuff got worse after COVID. So right now, my opponent has run on the fact that he only cares about affordability, but he has voted against everything that has actually made opportunities in our lives
yes.
to be affordable.
Yes.
He's voted against reducing our property taxes, ending tax on tips, lowering taxes on Social Security benefits for seniors, and any relief families are getting right now, my opponent voted against.
Well, right here on the energy issue that we're going to talk about, right across the river from me, as county executive in Ulster, he lobbied to work to shut down the modernization of the Danskammer plant over there to bring it up to current environmental standards and increase the availability of electric energy right here in the Hudson Valley, which would have gone a long way to help lowering our electric costs. You're 100% correct, Jackie.
And we have a real crisis here with energy in New York.
Yes.
You know, people's energy costs are skyrocketing. The reality of our electric grid is declining.
Yes.
And it seems like the only people that are blamed are the utilities. And yet, I'm not sure if most of the public knows this, but their rates are approved by New York State.
Correct.
People like Kathy Hochul, Pat Ryan, they're the ones approving these rates. And yet, I know people that work for Central Hudson, and they can't even go to a store to get lunch right now without being attacked by people.
Oh, and they've demonized these individuals, and yet the New York State Assembly and Senate refuses to allow a breakdown on our electric utility bill to show that about, 30% of it is actually government-imposed taxes and mandates? Jackie?
Exactly.
Hold real quick, if you will, Jackie Orringer. We need to get a quarter-hour sports break in. Back with Jackie Orringer, whose website, you can look at this now, winwithjackie.com. Back in a minute on The Beacon.
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good.
Hudson Valley Focus Live. Back to my conversation with Jackie Orringer. Jackie, winwithjackie.com is her website, and this is for the 18th Congressional District, currently represented by Pat Ryan. Jackie, let's talk about the geographic area. With redistricting over the last several years, and of course with the Albany Democrats trying to gerrymander and re-engineer this, going back to court, three or four times, I think some people are confused about what their where their congressional district covers. If talk about that, if you will, please.
So my district consists of a sliver of Ulster County, which is exactly where I'm from. I'm from Kingston, New York. I live here. I work here, born and raised. It runs from like Sorgatys and Woodstock down to Marlboro and Plattekill. It has all of Orange County, and it has most of Dutchess County, aside from East Fishkill, Pauling, and parts of Beekman.
Right.
And so it was redrawn in 2022, and then again, I believe, in 2024. And it is very confusing, but I feel like if you don't know who your congressman is, then I'd go as far as saying he's not doing his job.
I agree. So I have known Ryan for many years. He used to be a regular guest on this show every Wednesday morning while he was, for a period of time, he was Ulster County Executive. I have invited him back on, even toward the end of his time as Ulster County Executive, but the entirety of his time representing, he's my congressman. He will not come on this show to answer, not just to me, but to the, you know, the scores of listeners who have submitted questions to me, can you please get Congressman Ryan to answer this question? And he has been his tactic to hide out and not tell people who he is, Jackie.
I don't think he really needs to tell people who he is, because I think we can see that in the way he votes, in the even in the things that he says versus the things that he does. Everything seems to be a conflict of interest. And I think that people tend to forget, and I think Congress forgets, that they're hired by the people to represent the people. So what I'll do as Congresswoman is I will continue to listen to my constituents, and I'm going to take their voices and amplify them back in Washington, because I'm not just here to vote with my party or with Washington. I'm here to obviously help my area.
So I'm going to ask you right now, we'll put you on the spot.
Yeah.
As my congressional representative, when you go to Washington, D.C., will you make a public commitment to come back on this show regularly and report to me and my listeners in the 18th Congressional District?
Oh, absolutely. Because guess what? When I win, I'm only going to be there for 2 years. And if I want to make it another 2 years, I'm going to have to get reelected. So I have to listen to my constituents and they have to listen to what I have to say as well. They have to get to know me. So I absolutely will commit to that.
Thank you. I try to drive this program with very accurate information. Just like you are a business person, you've worked with individuals, you've worked with other business owners or property owners who are building properties. You deal with the realities. My 40 years in the insurance business with my family, I would sit down, whether it was in my office or over the kitchen table with a family or in an office with a manufacturer or a carpenter or electrician, you deal every day with the realities that people are faced with managing the household budget, with managing the business budget, with dealing with personnel issues, regulatory issues. Jackie, am I correct that these are all of the things that you have had to adapt into your career in the construction business and as a project manager? Is that accurate?
That's accurate. That's very accurate to say. And actually, one of the things that I am really pushing for right now, because I feel like this stuff is not always taught at a young age,
yes,
but I believe it's more so learned through experiences. And I think it was actually yesterday, we were ranked 49 in opportunity in New York State.
Correct.
And I think that restoring opportunity here in the Hudson Valley, and including like the barriers that prevent these businesses from growing and young people from remaining here, everything around here seemingly caters to everyone but the locals.
Yes.
And so For one part, I've been toying with the idea of making nightlife great again, which we're constantly talking about attracting younger people to the Hudson Valley, but we also have to give them reasons to stay.
So let me jump in, because Robbie is 24 years old.
Yes.
Robbie is the audience that you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't believe, firstly, that you're only 5 years older than me, because we're talking about essentially kind of our generation, in a way that our generation is being elected in this state, in this county. And you talk about affordability being one of your pillars of the campaign that you're running. What are you doing to advocate for younger people to stay here? Because unfortunately, I am looking towards, you know, Tennessee, North Carolina, somewhere that could be affordable for my future. What is something that you can persuade me in saying that you should stay here?
So, as mentioned, that I was toying with the idea of making nightlife great again. I think that tourism is great. You know, a lot of people, like I said, everything caters pretty much to everyone but the locals. So a lot of the city weekenders come here, obviously, on the weekends, and a lot of restaurants are only open from, like, Thursday to Sunday. Everything, nothing's open late night. So I think that attracting younger people, generations of our age, we need more vibrant downtowns, restaurants, music, entertainment, just places where people can connect and get off of their phones. Because there is a real lack of connectivity and humanity going on, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we're constantly on our phones. So not only does, like, going out, I mean, it's not just about going out, but, like, it supports small businesses, it creates jobs, strengthens tourism, and it just makes our communities, I guess, feel alive. And another thing that I'm working towards right now is, as of March of this year, to my understanding, I think it's super important to instill this financial literacy in kids, because kids are our future right now.
Yes.
So practical education with finance, I think, is critical for students to understand taxes, credit, investing, retirement, and any other financial tools they need to build long-term financial independence. So as of March of this year, these materials are going to be required to be implemented into the curriculum in different classes in school. But as a student of the New York State education system, I know how hard it is to get through every lesson or segment in a school year. And most of the time, classes skip over things that they don't really think are that important, or they skim over them. So I think that we should go further than that and create standalone classes or after school programs where kids can learn how to start a 401k, they can learn how to, okay, you should invest in this, you should trade in this, you should set up these generational wealth programs for people. So I think that it starts with our kids, and I think it starts with giving them the tools to be financially independent.
And Jackie, this is Tom. Let me jump back into this conversation, because what you just said about, you know, having other opportunities, and you talked about specifically nightlife and all, when I listen to that and I think about that, one of the requirements along that, in order for that to happen, particularly to make vibrant cities, vibrant downtown areas, is safety and security. And when I look at the state of New York, and I look at, in this particular instance, what New York Democrats have done with their bail reform laws, their raise the age, not prosecuting underage criminals, when I look at Pat Ryan really not standing up for law enforcement, his calls to shut down ICE, we're talking about human trafficking. We're talking about theft of intellectual property. And let me ask you a question before we run up against the 8 o'clock break. You're going to stay with me until 8:30, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. So I want to be able to come back and make sure we list out all of these issues. But safety and security is the number one goal of government. And this is where Ryan has completely fallen down. As have Albany Democrats. Jackie?
Well, personally, I think Pat Ryan's politically confused. He just seemingly does and says whatever seems to fit his agenda of seeking higher office. And so with the safety issues right now, it's funny because my opponent during National Police Week, he voted against this simple resolution that just said you acknowledge and support law enforcement.
Wow.
Yet then he'll post photos of how much he supports the police. It makes no sense. He seemingly always drops the ball on these bipartisan resolutions, issues, anything, and consistently votes with ideology and his party.
All performative, as you said a couple of times already. So, Jackie, we're going to take our quick 8 o'clock break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up the conversation there. Winwithjackie.com. Back in a minute on The Beacon. Closing on 8:07 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Back to my conversation with Jackie Orringer, candidate, Republican conservative candidate for New York's 18th congressional district, which covers what we say all of Orange County, parts of Dutchess County, and the most of the western part of Dutchess County, Ulster, Orange, Dutchess. So right here in our broadcast area. Jackie Orringer, winwithjackie.com. Because Hudson Valley Focus Live covers almost the entirety of this 18th congressional district, would you be agreeable to me hosting an on-air discussion or debate with you and Pat Ryan, please?
Absolutely. I actually love that idea, because right now I'm running on what I like to call the big three: affordability, opportunity, and accountability, which means holding our leaders accountable for the things that they say versus the promises that they break, because people actually care about results, and there's been a lot of promises made that have lacked real results. So I would love that.
Thank you. And you know, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli has been on with me a number of times over the years. And DiNapoli, way back when, made a really important comment. He said to me, I love doing your show because you ask the relevant questions that inform the discussion. Jackie, so many people are in the dark when we have a candidate who runs away and will not, you know, answer legitimate questions that my listeners have been asking for years. And I believe it's absolutely been a political strategy. We see it from so many of these candidates. They don't want the public to know who they truly are. They'll come out and they'll, as you said, it's performative. And I think that's a great way to say it. Oh, yes, I can smile for the camera and you know, I can give a $25,000 check to a fire company. But the things that matter, that affect the affordability that you just talked about, or, you know, why do we have in the state of New York a vacuum of real health care services, especially for women and children? Jackie?
So right now in New York, I mean, I think that there's like so many things that we can do to help.
Yes.
And right now, especially, New York spends more on Medicaid than any other state.
Yes.
And that's by a lot.
Yes.
And I truly do believe that we need to root out. There's a lot of fraud, there's a lot of waste, and there's a lot of corruption. And we need to return those savings to taxpayers. And I'm not saying take away these programs or benefits from people that truly need it. Because even Democratic State Senator James Skoufis has raised like serious concerns, yes, about waste and corruption in the state's personal assistance program. And he said it could be costing taxpayers literally billions of dollars.
It is. And, according to Comptroller DiNapoli, it is. According to Comptroller, yeah, DiNapoli, he's been ringing this alarm bell for years.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it is under investigation by the Justice Department right now. And, you know, when you think about it, every wasteful dollar spent is money taken away from the people that actually need it.
True.
That actually need these things. So, but my opponent, again, will not touch this. He will not seriously confront the problem because he's closely tied to the Greater New York Hospital Association, which is also one of his biggest political supporters. But his wife is lobbying in Washington on their behalf, and Pat Ryan's accepted almost $100,000 in contributions from them. And the difference between me is that my priorities are simple. Lower taxes, eliminate wasteful spending, reduce energy costs, and actually make it possible for families and seniors to remain here in the Hudson Valley. Because the more people my age that move out, that means that their parents are going to move out because they're going to want to go be by their grandchildren.
Sure.
So our communities are just going to continue to thin out. And honestly, my mom moved down to Florida 2 years ago, and she loves it. And I'm like, no, come back. And because I love it here. I want to stay here. I want to raise kids here. But seemingly the dream of living here is becoming more of a nightmare every day.
So you have, and this is why I'm glad we're having an extended conversation, the first of what I hope will be many, because every time you speak about this, it reminds me of some other deficiency from Ryan. And I'm sorry I have to say that. The things that you just talked about the things that he has not done. I think about him voting against, you know, the voter ID laws, or in voting against the insider trading regulations. Who's he working for? It certainly isn't the people here in the Hudson Valley.
Exactly. And the best part is, especially with the AI stuff that we're seeing a lot these days, it's coming for our privacy, it's coming for our identity, it's coming for our children, it's coming for all of our data. And Pat Ryan sits on a congressional subcommittee responsible for overseeing that stuff while also holding a six-figure financial stake in a private AI-powered verification company. So it begs the question, what's going on here? Like, it seems like he is constantly doing things that are putting him in conflicts of interest. And I think that the public should know whether is someone regulating an industry because they have personal financial interest in that industry. I mean, I just feel like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be doing it, but, and I'm not saying that there's anything illegal going on, but I'm saying that I think that he should have to disclose these conflicts of interest.
Oh, I believe so. And when I look at something like the insider trading and the voter ID, let's see if I have this. Let's see. So voter ID is supported by 84% of the public, Republicans and Democrats, regardless of race. The insider trading restrictions are supported by 86% of the American public. Here's something that's so overwhelmingly bipartisan support, and Pat Ryan votes against it. And I was not aware, Jackie Orringer, until reading your material about the Bipartisan Kids Internet and Digital Safety Act, H.R. 7757, a comprehensive federal package passed on June 29th of 2026 that consolidates 14 separate child online privacy and safety proposals. Am I correct that Ryan voted against that?
You would be correct. So back to what that is, the Kids Act, it included protections involving children and them chatting with AI bots. And he said that he opposed it because it didn't go far enough and was too favorable of big tech, but Pat Ryan is big tech. 100 Democrats actually voted yes on this, and it seems like each time he has an easy vote to make, he fails the test.
Well, same with the Laken Riley Act to protect you know, I guess illegal immigrants and what happened with the Lake and Riley Act. I believe he voted against that one.
He also voted against that. And you know what? It is very sad. And my main initiative is to focus on criminals and dangerous immigrants. But Ryan and Hochul's policies have made us less safe and has cost the taxpayers so much because of this stuff. And now we've seen the deadly consequences of that, which is the death of Sheridan Gorman, who was killed by a dangerous illegal immigrant.
Absolutely.
And should not have been allowed here.
Yes.
And this is a crisis that was created by an open border under the Biden administration. And, you know, it's essential that we secure these borders and we get back to, you know, focusing just on the criminals.
There are articles out today that Becerra, the HHS secretary, there's still something like 140,000 unaccompanied minor children who are yet to be accounted for, who came in under Biden-Harris. While Pat Ryan. And Jackie Orringer, some of those children were being flown right here into the Hudson Valley at 1 o'clock in the morning into Orange County Airport, into Westchester County Airport. I've never heard Ryan speak out against that. Let's get another quick break in. Jackie Orringer, we'll get a little sports break in. And Jackie, take this couple of minutes, if you will, and come back and enumerate those things that are your, you know, 1, 2, and 3 priorities when you represent us in Washington. Back with Win with Jackie on the Beacon. Just another manic Monday. 820, Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Back to my conversation with Jackie Orringer, winwithjackie.com. And Jackie, you have an event coming up 2 weeks from today that I just noticed. Jackie?
I do. I have an event on August 12th at 6 p.m. at Otterkill Country Club in Campbell Hall. So you can purchase tickets at winwithjackie.com.
Exactly. So, I was looking at that and thought, well, 2 weeks from today, we should mention that. Before I come back and have you enumerate something, the things that are on your mind, there's a point about Ryan that really, 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 really upsets me. I am a United States Army military veteran, Vietnam era. My brother was already serving in Vietnam, so I wound up over in the Republic of South Korea shortly after the North Koreans captured the Pueblo spy ship. And there I was an Honest John rocket assembly technician with a top secret clearance for assembling nuclear warheads. When I see Ryan talk about, you know, I was a military veteran, I went to West Point, we had an honor code, and, you know, I swore the oath of allegiance to our United States Constitution to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, in all of its amendments and Bill of Rights. Hiding behind the uniform as he does or something, I can't even begin to tell you as a military veteran who I actually do respect the Constitution and the rights of others, and that's what I sworn oath to defend. His use of that and then to follow his actual policies that are constitutional violations, like calling for the defunding of ICE, an organization created by our United States Congress to be a primary law enforcement organization protecting citizens. Jackie, I'm sorry to let go on this, but it is enormously offensive to those of us who served.
And I would just like to say welcome home and thank you for your service. And, you know, not only just being in military, but every member of Congress also takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution.
Yes.
So those decisions, like when protecting the Constitution, your constitutional rights, it should not only happen when it's politically convenient for you.
Correct.
So, yeah. So you know what? Our founders knew that power most likely would be abused, which is why the Constitution limits the power of government to begin with. So, you know, I support the Second Amendment. And I believe that we should, you know what I think it is? I think that a lot of the Democrats, they use these boogeymans. So, for example, right now, ICE is a boogeyman.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that there's right or wrong there, but, you know, I think that they politicize these issues and they prevent local law enforcement from working with ICE, and they just create these problems that are way bigger than what they should have been. And
there is nothing in our federal laws that allow an entity to declare itself a sanctuary organization. There's nothing. And yet that's what Ryan did as Ulster County executive. And I've never heard him rescind that. I said a few minutes ago that the number one role of local, state, federal governments is the protection of our rights under that Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and safety and security, providing safety and security is the number one role that we have. So we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Jackie Owringer, I want to go back to the question that I asked you about me hosting on-air debate or discussion with you and Congressman Ryan.
Okay, I'd just like to mention this, that Ryan is actually, being a veteran that he is, he has voted against expanded support for veterans and surviving military families, which I think is disgraceful.
Absolutely.
So there are things that I want to focus on when I am in Congress, and especially during debates. And you know what? Obviously, first one of them is affordability.
Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, lower the cost of living by supporting tax relief, responsible spending, and just policies that make it easier for families and businesses to get ahead here.
To your point, I mean, get to specific. I think there was a request to have a tax holiday on New York State and local taxes on our energy, on our gasoline and electricity rates, and I think Ryan stood opposed to that.
Yeah, we definitely need to bring down the gasoline and home energy costs. And that means expanding American energy production, and we need to adopt energy policies that are actually reliable, affordable, and realistic and sustainable.
Yes.
You know, we can't continue removing these reliable sources of energy before we actually have dependable replacements operating in place of them. So I do support an all-of-the-above approach, and that includes nuclear power, natural gas, hydropower, renewable energy. The goal should be cleaner energy, but it should also be reliable, like I said, and affordable, and especially sustainable.
Yes.
And a lot of things that we're seeing on the market right now are what I like to call greenwashing scams.
Correct.
They seem like they do good, but in reality, they actually cost a lot more. They're not really effective. They're not efficient, and they're not sustainable. They're just like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole.
Well, you and I talked at the outset of this conversation about you being a project manager. You know, in project management, strengthening and rebuilding our nation's entire backbone of our power distribution system should have been the absolute priority before we talked about building windmills and solar panels. I mean, that's project management 101, Jackie.
Absolutely. But it seems like at least my opponent's approach and most of his Albany allies, they just follow these ideological energy transitions regardless of what it costs families.
Yes. My electric, I have geothermal heating and cooling. I walk the walk. I'm an avid environmentalist, but my electricity costs have gone up about 50% since they shut down Indian Point. And that plant was certified to probably run safely with upgrades another 20 years. And look at the people who stood in the way of and who called for its shutdown. Jackie, two minutes left. How do people contact you? How do people support you?
You can visit winwithjackie.com to get in touch with me. My email is jackie@winwithjackie.com. And winwithjackie.com/donate is my contribution link. So please support us. We want to reach as many voters as we can and get our message out there. You know, I wouldn't be running if the system wasn't already broken. If someone was doing a good job, I wouldn't have stepped up to do this job myself. So I really just want to help struggling families right now and all of my workers out here. And, you know, I stand by you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to listen to you. And I just want to bring opportunity here. I want to strengthen our communities. I want to expand access to care. Mental health is the biggest platform for me.
Yes.
And again, opportunity, accountability, and affordability. And let's run with it. And let's take back the Hudson Valley.
Exactly. I agree. And again, you have an event coming up 2 weeks from today, Bites and Ballots, Jackie Orringer's Orange County Bash, and that's at the Otterkill Country Club in Campbell Hall. And if you go, folks, go to winwithjackie.com, click on the little events tab. All of the details are there. Jackie, this has been great. It would have been easier to have this first conversation with you face-to-face. You and I have never met in person, but I hope we will be able to do that soon. And again, I will, you know, work with you and Congressman Pat Ryan's folks and see if we can't put this together to have a one-on-one discussion that I moderate with actually focusing on the issues that people have asked me about for years and years and years. Jackie, thank you for joining the battle.
Thank you. I look forward to coming back on here to debate these things.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.